All right, Psalm chapter 15. All right, good to be in God's house this evening. Glad we've got a Bible that's still true, God that's still faithful, amen. All right, we want to preach to you tonight a little bit out of Psalm chapter 15. And we want to kind of build on some things that we were talking about this morning. And the Psalm chapter 15 is about really the way I see it and the way I believe it reads pretty plainly is that we're talking about the millennial reign of Christ here in this chapter. Verse number 1, it says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? That's a very good question. We're going to look at that just a little bit this evening. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help me to say what needs to be said and what must be said and help me to say it well. And God, I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, through the message, through your word. And God, I thank you for everything that you've done for us. I thank you, God, for salvation. I thank you, God, for leading us. Lord, down the road after salvation, I pray, oh God, that you'd help us all to finish the race well. And I thank you, God, for everything that you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, the question here in verse number 1 is, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And I really believe that this is a question that's really asking, who is going to reign with Christ? Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Well, you know what the tabernacle is. You know what the temple is. The holy hill, you know what that is. I believe you understand that that's a reference to the place of ruling and reigning. If you'll look with me just right quick in 2 Timothy chapter 2, just want to give a few verses here to base this message upon. 2 Timothy chapter 2, a very familiar verse. And it says in verse number 10, he says, therefore I endure all things. Paul's going through some things. If you're a Christian, you're going to go through some things. There's no question about that. I wish that it wasn't so, and I don't take any joy out of about saying that Christians are going to go through hardship. I don't take any pleasure in saying things about, you know, I've survived this or you've survived that. I don't take any pleasure. I wish we all had it easy, but we're not going to have it easy. We're going to suffer some things along the way. So he says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now, if you're going to live, you're going to have some experiences along the way. And that a lot of times people gauge that by what they go through, and they use that to decide whether they're living or not. Sometimes you get a life, you live, and you gain experiences, and you look at your loved ones and say, boy, we really living. Other people live and have experiences, and they look at their loved ones and say, this is not a life I care to live. Yeah. That's just the plain truth about it is we base whether we're living or not on our experiences. And the plain truth is Christians are alive, and you're alive forevermore. You're going to live out the rest of your life, whether it's a year or 2 years or 10 years or 20 years. You're going to live the rest of your life, and then your eternity is going to be based upon not only what Jesus Christ done for you to get you into the body of Christ, but your eternity is going to be based on the experiences that are laying out there in wait for you in eternity. Those things are going to be based on what you do here in this life, what you do with the life that God gave you, what you've done with the life that God gave you from the time you were born to the time you were born again. Those are the things you needed to be forgiven for. Those are the things that you said plainly, this life is not worth living. I need somebody else. I need Jesus Christ. I need a new life and a better life. And that's what you got when you called on the Lord to save you. He gave you a new life. Now be very careful what you do with that new life, because it matters. It matters. Now, you can fill up your days. If you're saved, you can fill up your days between now and the day of your death. You can fill it up with happiness. And as far as the world's concerned, you can pursue money, houses, lands, women, men, drugs, whatever, entertainment. You pursue whatever you want to. But none of those things are going to dispel what you're actually going to run into after we die. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So he said, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Christ, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, I'm glad for those we's, because that includes the body. Those things. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And I believe the reference right there is, if we deny him, he will deny us the reign that he promised us right there if we would suffer with him. Now, you're going to suffer. I don't take any joy or any pleasure in that, but the fact of the matter is, you're going to go through suffering. If you live for Christ, you'll suffer for Christ. If you live for yourself, you'll suffer for yourself. Somebody reminded me of the verse this morning. I believe it was Brother Eric back there. The way of the transgressor is hard. Amen? If you live for yourself, you're going to run into some suffering. It's going to have to do with you. And oftentimes we'll point the finger at somebody else and say, this is your fault, or this is your fault. Well, maybe you shouldn't have been hanging out with them to begin with. Amen? It's always going to come back to you. I think it come back on. I don't know if it did or not.
No, he turned this one on. He turned that one on. Yeah, I'll just give it to him. I'll take him to replace it.
All right. We pause for one moment of station identification. I'm going to keep going if that's all right.
Fine.
Yeah, you're going to suffer for your own life. Amen. Live according to your own dictates. You're going to run into the consequences of those things. Amen. But when we go back to Psalm chapter 15, when he says, if you suffer with him, you'll reign with him, I certainly do believe that this is what he's talking about, this reign of Christ right here. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? So what he's asking here is, Lord, who is going to reign with you? Who is going to rule with you? Who is going to be right there with you while you're ruling and reigning over this world? Hold your place. I don't know if you turn back to Psalm 15, but look in Revelation chapter 3 for just a second. We'll just kind of tie these verses together before we get into the sermon. But Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 12. Revelation 3 and verse number 12. It says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. But notice the first part of that verse, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Paul said about some of the apostles and some of the disciples, he said they were pillars in the house of God. Is this thing ready to go now? All right. He said, going to make them pillars. Well, listen, that's what a Christian's going to be. If he suffers with Christ, he's going to be a pillar in the temple of God. He's going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. And that pillar, just, you know what a pillar is in a building. It holds it up. Well, that's talking about the administration, the leadership, the thing that keeps things going, the person that keeps things going. And that's what a Christian ought to be. You ought to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Amen. And so that's what he says. If you overcome, now notice, it's not by grace through faith. If you overcome. Now some of you, I'm going to be quite frank with you tonight. Some of you need to overcome. For some of you, it might be different things. Some of you might be addicted to a lot of stuff you had no business getting involved with in the first place. Drugs, alcohol, entertainment, whatever it is that you're addicted to that you can't put down, that you can't live without, you might need to overcome that. Some of you might need to overcome your fear of persecution. Amen. I would tell my family about the Lord, but they're going to get on to me. They're going to make fun of me. Well, I believe you can go through that. I believe you can handle that. And listen, you know, you get to the point where you're trying to preach and help people, and you have some folks say, well, you know, he's a compromiser and he don't preach hard or he don't do it. But listen, there is definitely a need for straight, direct, pointed preaching. And you have to realize that there's a lot of different situations that are involved when you're preaching to people. And sometimes you're edifying, and sometimes you're rebuking, and sometimes you're instructing. And I tried to, when I first started preaching, I just had my mind set on that rebuking part. Amen? But I try to do a little bit more than that now, because there's more need than just that. But every once in a while, there comes a time when we have to have a real honest look in the mirror at ourselves and take a look at ourselves and see. Because listen, the danger for not doing that is that you go ahead and live on through your life going the way you're going and doing the way you're doing and acting the way you're acting, and all of a sudden the day of your death comes, and then you've got nothing else to work with after that. I mean, from the time you get saved to the time you die, that's all the time you've got to work with, and the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. So, Brother Mike, I don't agree with all these legalistic points. Well, what's the matter with you? I don't like rules and regulations. I don't like somebody telling me what to do. Well, listen, it's not so much that somebody's telling you what to do. It's something you're called to now. Amen? The Bible says in Thessalonians, in chapter 4, it says that you're called to holiness. Amen. See, we don't strive for holiness out of commandment. The Old Testament proved we couldn't go that route. Amen. But now we're saved, got the Holy Spirit in our hearts, got the divine nature tucked up down deep in our soul. You can. Do a little better than you've been doing. We went through the scripture, and I'm going to try to save some time so I can really focus on the chapter here in chapter number 15. But I had intended to go back to the book of Acts where we were this morning. You recognize one of the purposes that God said he had for Paul was to call men out of darkness into light. He didn't just say, I'm going to call you to the light. He said, I'm going to call you out of darkness. Out of darkness. And when he's talking about over there, when he's talking about God's people in Revelation chapter 3, when he's talking about God's people overcoming, I'll tell you, the biggest thing you're going to have to overcome this life is you. I mean, every one of us this morning, we talked about who's right and who's wrong. Every one of us tonight could say, there's a lot of things that I want to do. And if you'd be honest with yourself, a lot of times Christianity gets in the way. Because Christianity is not about you. Christianity is about the will of the Father, and Christianity is about the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that I'd like to do, but I'll tell you, just plain out, I'm not going to get to do a lot of things in my life that I want to do because I've been called out of the darkness of this world. I've been called away from the leadership of this world. I've been called away from the inspirations of this world. I've been called away from the inspirations of the natural man. I just ain't going to get to all that stuff. Amen. Amen. I was going to go into the NFL next year, but I just decided I'd serve the Lord instead. Amen. I was going to become a millionaire. I was going to become a giant businessman, but I decided to give that up. Now, you know I jest, but a lot of us do have plans that if you was honest, I don't know if you're honest or not. You better be honest, because we'll get to that here in just a second, down about verse 3 or 4 or something like that. You better be honest. But if you are honest with yourself, you'd be honest and say, hey, I can't make it to Wednesday night sometimes because I've just got other things to do. Right. Amen. And preachers try to be graceful, and, you know, somebody gets a job or somebody, you know, got to go on vacation 40 times a year. Preachers try to understand those things. But at some point in time, you're going to have to give up vacation for the Lord. Yeah. Amen? Sometimes you're going to have to give up $17 an hour and maybe take a few dollars less so you don't have to be available on Wednesday night. So what's so important? Well, the people of God meet in the house of God on Wednesday night, and it's important.
Yeah.
Amen? I, for one, know that you can go for a little overtime on Wednesday night, and it can mess you up for 2 or 3 years. You say, well, I'm the same old Christian I was when I was getting 3 services a week. No, you ain't. No, you're not. Amen. 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 That's right, whether you like it or not. Amen. That's absolutely true. Well, we'll get into these things a little bit. So we're not really, you know, I've been called legalist a lot of times. I've been called compromiser because I didn't hit on things that maybe you thought I should have, or some other congregation might have thought I should have. But you hit on the right things when the Lord tells you to hit on it, amen? And so that straw came up tonight, amen? Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? In other words, some people on this earth are going to see the love of Christ and how much he cared for them and how merciful he was on them. And some people in this world are going to love him because he first loved them. And they're going to see the magnitude of not going to hell. They're going to see the magnitude of if Christ would have never come by their way, how bad they would have it, how desperate their life would be, how far they would have fallen. Listen, just think, if you've been saved 10 years, just think how, you say, boy, I used to be bad. You know the old Baptist testimony. I was the worst fella in the world. Hey, look how bad you would have been if God wouldn't have come by now, if God wouldn't have come by and rescued you from the way you was traveling. Boy, you'd be in a bad spot. Some of you'd be dead. Some of you, listen, some of you, if God wouldn't have come by and showed you the glorious light of the gospel, you would have been dead years ago on the path you was following. Jesus come by and rescued you. I wish preachers would go back to preaching that salvation is a rescue, not a benefit that you deserve. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Folks get up and say, well, Jesus loves you. Won't you come get saved? No, listen, no consequence. Listen, if you don't get saved, you go to hell.
Right.
Amen. Jesus dying for you on the cross is not a Hallmark moment. Right. It's something you needed. You're not doing him a favor by trusting in him and putting your $2 in the plate. Right. He's doing you a favor by letting you breathe today.
Amen.
And that goes for those of you who memorized the whole chapter of Scripture last week. God's still doing you a favor by letting you live this week. Amen? God takes his hand off of you. You'll never look at another verse of Scripture. Amen. From the time you get saved to the time you die, this is going to be a dogfight. I mean, it's going to be a scrap. It's going to be rough. Things are going to be bad. And the Bible says you suffer with him. You'll reign with him.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we don't recognize it, but sometimes suffering is just denying self. I could do this. This would be a benefit to my family. My family would enjoy some of this stuff if I would provide it for them. But sometimes you're just going to have to sit back and say, well, my children will enjoy the millennial reign a whole lot better. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's exactly right. And that's what you're going to have to get that mindset in your head. You have to walk with it every day. Because I'm telling you, good Christian, something. That flesh is still flesh.
Amen.
That flesh is still flesh. Amen. You stop praying a little while, lay out of a couple of church services, Disney World will start looking awful good.
Yeah.
I go hang out with Mickey. Amen. Get down there and start sitting next to somebody and their little beer smells will start rolling by your lips and say, well, after all, it is just good old Mickey Mouse world. Ain't no Baptists around here, so I may as well drink a little bit. The pastor ain't down here. Before you know it, you're back in the old mess. Amen. Then the only thing you got to do is carry around a wounded conscience. Amen. You remember what a wounded conscience feels like? Don't think you can't get back there.
Amen.
I got tired of a guilty conscience.
Amen.
Amen. And I'll tell you what, when I get mixed up and messed up, even now, that's the thing that keeps sending me back to the Lord. I can talk myself into anything. I can talk myself into anything. But there's one thing I never want to talk myself out of, and that's when you lay your head on your pillow at night and the Holy Spirit says, now, son, you know. I mean, he could come and take your life. He could come take your life right now.
Amen.
But instead, he chooses to come by and say, son, I've got a better life for you. You know.
Amen.
You know this thing you're doing ain't right. You know there's a better life for you. You know you could go to bed at night and lay your head down in ease instead of all this worry and all this, what's God going to do because I've done this time? I tell you what he'll do. After you've done it again, how many of you ever prayed, Lord, I've done it again?
Yeah.
You say, well, I don't know what the Lord's going to do now. I know what he'll do now. He'll forgive you if you'll get right.
Yeah.
He'll restore that conscience if you'll get the thing right. It's a whole lot better. It's a whole lot more fun. All these Christians want to have fun. It's a whole lot more fun to get right than it is to waller in it.
Yeah.
Amen. Get out of the hog pen. Get up and go home. Amen. Say, God, help me.
Yes,
sir. Amen. You know, I think that's the difference between modern Christianity and the Christianity of old. The modern Christianity is, y'all got to forgive me. Hey, I know that preacher done bad, but y'all got to forgive him. I ain't got to do nothing. Well, you don't know what people's going through. What do you mean, don't know what people's going through? I'm a people. But that's, see, you talk like that. Brother Mike don't want to forgive nobody. That's not what I said. I'm not talking about my attitude. I'm talking about people's attitude. Well, I did wrong, I know, but you got to forgive me. Ain't nobody got to do nothing. Nobody got to do nothing. Well, you go back in the days of old. What was the attitude back then? Well, the storm blows up and nothing's working right. Somebody stands up and says, hey, what in the world's going on here? Amen. Ship's about to go down. There's a great big storm going down. We've called on our gods and ain't nothing happening. What in the world's wrong? And Jonah's over in the corner. He didn't raise his hand and say, now, y'all got to forgive me. No, sir. He said, hey, it's my fault. Amen. It's me.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did he say next? He said, now, I'd like all the deacons of this ship to get together and vote to keep me around because the grace of God. Those men said, now, what in the world are we going to do? And Jonah was saying, I hope you weren't going to ask that question. You got to throw me overboard. See, that's an attitude. That's a repentant attitude. That's a man that's one of God's people, but he knows there's something going on. See, what happens is a lot of you folks, you ain't been living right either, but you got something going on down inside of your heart. But instead of getting right about it and standing up and saying, oh, Faith Baptist Church, throw me overboard.
Yeah.
When's the last time you had somebody stand up in church and say, kick me out of the church, preacher. I'm no good. Just kick me out.
Amen.
That's what Jonah was doing. Instead of that, well, y'all gotta forgive me, and y'all can't really ridicule me for laying drunk for the last 3 weeks because we're living by grace around here.
Yeah.
See, it's a different attitude, ain't it?
Yes,
mm-hmm. You see, what they're doing is they're covering up. They're covering that conscience still bothers. That, listen, if you're saved by the grace of God and you ain't living like you ought to, your conscience bothers you at night. Amen. You may as well quit trying to deny it and quit trying to cover it up. Amen. I got a sneaking suspicion every time a Baptist buys a new suit, it's to cover up some wrong he's done. A new suit is not going to atone for your sins, amen? Amen. Amen. When I get to feeling really bad, I start shaving better. I mean, I'm feeling bad about myself. Well, I'll clean up better, you know, put on my white shirt to preach instead of my green one, and so start doing the things that Baptists do outwardly. I'll carry my Bible up near my heart. Instead of down by my side. Hey, the best thing to do is get your old bitter heart right with God.
Amen.
Amen. Then you don't have to go convince everybody else that you're okay. Well, preacher, I'm okay. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to go do my own thing. Nobody can't tell me what to do. Wait and see how that turns out. Wait and see how that turns out. It's not going to turn out good. I'm not glad about that. But you think you're going to die, and you think somebody's going to put you in the ground and cry over you a little bit. And when you get to heaven, you and Jesus are going to have a little Hallmark moment. And I'm going to walk through the streets of glory going, whoa, where's Jesus? Now, if you ain't walking around this earth going, where's Jesus? You probably ain't going to do much where's Jesus after you die.
Yeah, right.
Does that make any sense to anybody but me? And get your Yankee minds engaged here a little bit and think. Hey, if you're not doing that kind of stuff while you're here alive with the Holy Spirit in you and the divine nature in you, you're probably not going to do much of that after you die.
Amen.
When Simon Peter does weigh your good works against your bad works and lets you into the streets of glory, you're going to find a doghouse in somebody's mansion and crawl in it and try to hide as long as you can. But I got news for you. God will know you're up there just as much as he knows you're down here. You're not hiding from him down here. You're not hiding from him down here. He sees you right there where you're at. You may as well get right now.
Amen.
Well, I'll wait till the altar and then I'll do business with God. Get right now and shout the rest of the sermon. Why don't you do that? Be better than sitting there denying that I'm talking to you.
Amen.
Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? I wish some folks would abide in this tabernacle. Amen. Amen. Let's move on from there. Ain't no use in preaching at my church. My church ain't here. Amen. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Well, he's going to answer the question for you. He that walketh uprightly. Legalist. Amen. Legalist. I said a while ago, holiness in the New Testament's not by commandments, by calling. You say, what if I don't answer the call? Then you don't rule and reign with him. You don't abide in his tabernacle. I've often wondered what God's going to do with you if you don't rule and reign with him. That's an answer I don't want to find out. I don't want to find out the answer to that. I can't give you the answer. I don't know what he's going to do with us if we don't rule and reign with him. I know we're saved. We're not talking about being saved. Let's take a break and shout because we're saved. Ain't you glad you're saved? Ain't you glad you're going to heaven? Ain't you glad that you never have to go to hell? Ain't you glad that Jesus paid your sin debt for you?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Then why are we having this conversation? Well, you made it up. I didn't make it up. Psalm 15 was in the Bible before I was born.
Amen.
Amen. We must not be doing as good as we thought we was. Amen. Amen. He that walketh uprightly. You know how you rule and reign with Christ? You walk uprightly.
Right.
I'll tell you, one of the things that hurts me worse than anything in the world is walking uprightly. Doing right. Just doing uprightly. Walking uprightly. That's doing right. Amen. The Bible, whether this modern generation of grace lovers, whether they like it or not, the Bible says the righteous is greater. He's better. He's more excellent than his neighbor. Amen. Well, we're all just the same. No, we're not. The righteous more excellent than his neighbor. The man that'll get up and do the right thing, he's better than you are. Amen. If you get up and do the right thing, you'll be better than your neighbor that won't do the right thing. You say, what is the right thing? Do I need to tell you that? Do we need to have a 59,000-point message about what's right and what's wrong? You know what's right and wrong, you old heathen. You know what's keeping you up at night. Amen? You know what it is. Amen. Right to pray, right to read your Bible, right to go to church, right to go to work, right to provide for your family. And even if this feminazi generation don't care for it, it's right for a man to lead his wife.
Amen.
I said it's right for a man to lead his wife.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't like that, you just have to get mad about it. But the Bible says it's right for a man to lead his wife.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you won't go on visitation or pass out a tract because your wife won't let you. That's just the plain truth about it. Hey, now, you don't get mad at me neither, because I know men that I love very much. I love them. I've known them all my life. I care about them. I'd like to see them do something for God, and they can do something for God. I've seen them in action. I've seen God put their hand on them and use them, but they won't do it now because the way they used to believe embarrasses their wives. Hmm. It makes me so mad. Not because his wife ain't none of my business, but what I'm saying is, here's a man that could do great and mighty things, but his wife's not behind him. Hey, you're going to have to lead whether she's behind you or not.
Yes,
guess what that's going to cause? Suffering. Hey, listen, I believe every husband, I believe every wife knows this. If a wife tries to live for God and her husband not trying to live for God, she knows the same thing I'm talking about. One of the most difficult things in the world is trying to live for God while the rest of your household's not trying to do the same thing.
Right.
It causes problems.
Yeah.
The Bible says, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Well, the Bible tells us that a husband and wife, they're one life. They're one flesh. Amen. A man will quit serving God to please his wife.
Yeah. Right.
Adam wrecked the whole race of man to please his wife. He wasn't deceived. Is that what your Bible says? Uh-uh. This little lady ain't going to go along with me. I better serve her. You better serve God. Well, this might happen. I'm not talking about consequences. I'm talking about doing what God tells you to do when it's right to do it. Amen. So, well, my wife or my husband don't want to serve God with me. You better start fasting and praying. Well, I'll just leave him. You better not do that. You say, why? Because that's not walking uprightly. You made a vow. We had these Marine Corps uniforms in here this morning. How many of you Marine fellas ever heard the phrase, you signed the contract? That ring any bells? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you... Lord, save me! Your name was written in blood. Amen. So that's a hard saying, Brother Mike. It is. It is a hard saying. Well, I'll tell you one thing tonight. You can shout the victory over if you got a wife that wants to serve God with you.
Amen.
Hey, if you got a husband that wants to serve God with you, ladies, you better shout the victory over that thing.
Amen.
Amen. That's something to shout about. That's something to be thankful about.
Amen.
Amen. He that walketh uprightly. That's just one example of walking uprightly, doing the right thing. Amen. I'll tell you another thing that's walking uprightly. I cleaned some of these chewing gum wrappers up over here on the front row this morning. You boys better tighten up. Well, Brother Mike, that's kind of cheap. That ain't cheap, amen. If you don't have no respect for God's house, I'd hate to see yours. Amen. If you ain't got no respect for God's house, I'd hate to see your dirty heart. They used to have respect for God's house, and I think it's right. Well, this ain't nothing but brick and mortar. Is that all it is? I don't agree with that. I don't care who does agree with it. I don't agree with that. When I was a boy, you didn't wear your hat inside the house of God if you was a man.
Amen.
Amen. His house would be called a house of prayer. Women's to be covered, men's to be uncovered. But no respect no more. People respect the football stadium more than they do. Have y'all noticed that yet? I mean, you walk up to the courthouse. You go to the courthouse in Charlton County where we live, you got to have your shirt tail in. You better not have no T-shirt on. You better have a collared shirt on. And you walk up, you're not to have anything hid. You're not to have your shirt tail out. You're not to be disheveled in any way. You're to dress respectfully. And listen, they don't care if your court date is for 9 a.m. sharp. They will send you home 45 minutes away to dress correctly because you're not getting up them steps unless you're dressed correctly, showing respect for that courthouse. If they offer a bench warrant because you're not there on time, so be it. It's your problem. You should have had enough sense to dress right before you left the house. Go to the football game. No backpacks. No this. No that. We can't have no terrorists. None of these American terrorists that's blown up all these buildings and stuff. We got to keep these Americans from blowing up. Makes a lot of sense, don't it? Since it never happened before. But you start walking. You read the rules. Well, honey, run this phone back to the truck. Run my backpack back to the truck. Run this back to the truck. Oh, got to be respectful to the rules. When the deputy says, tuck your shirt tail in. Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hmm? The deputy says, where's your collared shirt? Oh, man, I forgot. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. The preacher says, boy, you ought to dress right, come to church. Who do you think you're talking to?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. Why don't you talk to the deputy like that when he pulls you over for speeding? Hey, you know what happens, Tommy? Your uncle's not here. You'll have to do. Police officer pulls you over and writes you a ticket, and you say, thank you, sir. Thank him for what? That thing's going to cost you $100. And you say to the deputy sheriff, thank you, sir. The preacher says, have some respect and do this or do that. You can't tell me what to do. Something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
You can call that legalism if you want to, but there's something wrong with you. There ain't nothing wrong with the legalist.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Illegalist. He that walketh upright and worketh righteousness. Well, we don't have no righteousness. How are you going to work it then?
Amen.
You got the divine nature in your heart. So you've been called to holiness. What you mean you ain't got none? You thought grace erased righteousness and doing right, but it didn't.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You ought to go home and read this chapter and consider it a little bit. Oh, here's that honesty part. And speaketh the truth in his heart.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what it takes to get truth out of your mouth?
Yeah.
Got to be in your heart. I don't know if I've told y'all about my cousin. God love him. He's my cousin. Somebody told me the rules one time was you got to love family, and I love him and all. But that boy will climb a ladder to tell you a lie rather than stand right in front of your face and tell you the truth. I mean, the boy just cannot tell the truth. I mean, he'll come to work one day and say, oh, yeah, he got off of work at 9 o'clock last night. Come back into work at 5 o'clock the next day and say, we went parachuting yesterday. We jumped out of a 747. We threw the parachutes out first, and then we dove after. He tells that kind of lies. I'm telling you that. He'll tell you, you say, well, what calls him? Does anybody else know anybody that does stuff like that, that just tells lies? What is wrong with them? When I start to tell a lie, I sit down and think about it a little bit. Now, is this going to go over correctly? Is this believable? Is this going to have its desired effect? And listen, there is no reason for you to go anywhere and say, I dove to 3,000 feet in the Atlantic Ocean and took over a Russian submarine. There's no reason to tell stories like that. Nobody believes that. Nobody believes that at all. Nobody believes it at all. But some people will do it. People stand up in church and say, I've read the Bible like 500 times. You're only 12. I knocked on 3,000 doors and won 200 people to Christ last year. Okay, last year we had 100. Last year we had 100. You won 200 to Christ. This year we have 56 in attendance. I think you're stretching the truth just a little bit. But you know what? You know why the truth don't come out of people's mouth? It's not been instilled in their hearts. There's no love of the truth. You know what the Bible says about people that are lost? There's no love of the truth. They don't have a love of the truth. Matter of fact, that's why God's going to send them a strong delusion. In the book of Thessalonians, he said God will send them a strong delusion because they don't have a love for the truth. I love the truth, Brother Tom. I'm not saying I'm an honest man. I'm not saying that I'm a truth teller and a go-getter. I'm not saying anything like that. But I tell you what, when I sit down and read the Bible, it's just so much more fulfilling than anything else that I've ever read. I've read a lot of stuff. I've read a lot of books. And I'm telling you what, this is the only book that satisfies because it's true. It's true, and it just keeps on giving you stuff and keeps on building and keeps on stacking truth on top of truth, and it's true. Amen. And people that love the truth go on to live good lives. I mean, I'm not talking about good in the sense of comparable to God, but much better lives than they were living when they were lost because the truth got a hold of them. And rather than say, now come to church next week, and we'll have a family life center meeting and teach one another how to deal with each other's problems. They didn't get mixed up in that stuff. They come down to a church where the guy gets up 45 minutes, 3 times a week, and says, hey, that book, that book, that book, that book, that book. You say, when's he going to preach on something else? There ain't nothing else to preach on. That's the only thing there is to preach on. Amen? If you had to trust in me, you'd be let down. If you had to trust in some other man, you'd be let down. If you had to trust in some thing, some organization, you'd be let down. But the one that wrote that book resides in my heart, and he'll talk to you day after day after day, even if you are a numbskull, and say, God, forgive me for being a numbskull. He'll come back by your way, and he'll talk to you, and that truth will reside right there in your heart, and your life will get better, even though you are a numbskull. And you are a numbskull. But as long as you keep getting that, you're all wonderful. And you're God's great and wonderful people. As long as you keep getting that stuff, you're going to start believing it. Yeah. Amen. Pretty soon that's a lie, you see? That's a lie. You're not wonderful people. I got the world's shortest message on why do bad things happen to good people. You want to hear all the points at once? There ain't no good people. Who disagrees? I say, everybody in the room's right once again, 3 times in one day. All bad people. All bad people. But God keeps dealing with us. You know why he does, don't you? You love the truth. If you don't love the truth, your world's in a whirlwind tonight. I can tell you that with absolute certainty. Who else is going to be there? Verse 3, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. Boy, you better watch what you say. You say, well, I'm right. I know. And I'm for you. If you're right, I'm for you. But you still can't be backbiting with your tongue. Amen? There's a godly way to go about being right. I've heard some preachers say this, and I disagree with it wholeheartedly. They say you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Or they say you're so right that you're wrong. I don't agree with that stuff. You ought to be right. Amen. You just ought to find a way somehow, some way to relate that with some kind of effectiveness rather than bitterness. Amen. Amen. Because the rest of it's just backbiting. There's a funny verse in the Bible that says if you bite one another, he said, and this is not exact quotation because I don't have all the Bible memorized yet. But he said, if you bite one another, he said, be careful that you don't devour one another. Yeah, right. That's hilarious. That's funny, Tommy. Come on. I can see Baptists like with one guy with just his head chewed off, another guy with just his arm. He said, if you're going to bite on one another, don't devour. Don't completely devour one another. Bunch of chewed up Baptists. Just about every Baptist church there is has a bunch of chewed off Baptists. Yeah. Right. Look at that woman. She shouldn't be wearing that. Go talk to her.
Amen.
What are you telling me for? Amen. I had people come to me, Pastor, when are you going to do something about so-and-so? I'll be like, when are you going to do something?
Amen. Amen.
You go tell them.
Yeah.
Amen. This is... God love her. There's a lady that can't stand to hear me preach. I mean, I'm sure there's more than one. But if I preach too long, she'll talk about it. And I don't mean like at home alone in the shower. I mean like right there on the pew. Or, you've already said that 10 times. People come up to me after service, aren't you going to do anything? I know you hear that, Brother Mike. Aren't you going to do anything about that? I'll say, does it bother you when she does that? Yes, it does. You tell her then. I only weigh 120 pounds. What am I supposed to do about it? What, you going to run and tell me, get on my side? Yeah. I tell my kids are like, when she said this, I'm like, you're on my side already. I'm not too worried about it. I hope she doesn't change my kid's mind about me. But, oh, God help you if a Baptist ever learns something about you.
Yeah.
Amen. Because they'll start a prayer meeting over you.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to pray for old sister so-and-so because she's so bad. We're going to put her on the list right after you. Amen. You're just as bad. I mean, I said it this morning, and I'm real serious about it. One of the most solemn moments of my life is when I figured out I was requiring much more of other people than I was requiring of myself. And boy, that if God really makes that clear to you and real to you, you'll get humble really quick, and you'll stop being God's man, which I do believe God has men. I'm not trying to, but a lot of people think they're God's men when they're just novices. You'll stop thinking you're God's man. You'll start being a minister and trying to help somebody out rather than exalt yourself or justify yourself. Somebody disagrees with you. That don't mean you're wrong. I don't need your approval to be right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen? And I think that's called dissimulating. Somebody says something to you and you're not willing to, you know, disagree with them or anything. Just agree for good favor and all that stuff. But listen, you don't have to agree with me for the truth to be truth. And when I say I'm right, I probably shouldn't even say that because whatever I'm right about come from the Bible. We give God the credit and the glory for teaching us the truth. But if I get up and stand up and preach and you come up to me after service, I don't agree with that. Well, good luck with the rest of your life. I'm not going to change my mind about what's true and right just because it's not popular.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Amen. Some of you would have less Facebook friends if you'd tell the truth once in a while.
Amen.
Amen. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Amen. That's good stuff. Verse number 4, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt. I said this and raised a few eyebrows in my own church. I said, I hate Marilyn Manson. I'm looking around. I can't hardly see, man. If I wear my glasses, I can see back there. If I don't wear my glasses, I can't see. If I do wear my glasses, I can't see up here and can see back there. I think that come out right. But I didn't wear my glasses, so I can't see how you're responding too well, which it really doesn't matter. But I like to see who raises eyebrows. That way I know who I'm dealing with. We say, well, you ought to love Marilyn Manson. I wish he'd get saved.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I know Jesus loved him enough to die for him. Do know that. But you know what the word contempt means, don't you? The Bible says the men and the women that rule and reign with him see a vile person, they'll contemn him. They'll be like old Job, they'll eschew evil. I said, man, get away from me.
Yeah, that's right.
I went through the drive-thru at the McDonald's in Folkestone one day, and the fella winked at me or something. And, how are you doing? That ain't none of your business. I'll beat you to death. I don't need that kind of stress at McDonald's. Pulled up to the drive-thru, and he made a pass at me. I was mad.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, boys, if y'all got that in your vocabulary, throw that word out of your vocabulary.
Yeah.
That's for girls. We'll be walking through the grocery store down there in Folkestone, and some boy with long hair walked by, and Reese will go, Mama, Mama, he's got Gil's hair. I like it. I love Lane. Amen. I do. Love Lane with all my heart. That illustration just came up. That wasn't pointed at you, but you could use it. Amen. Amen. That's true. Amen. I don't see how a bunch of people that love the Lord could sit down and watch a Marilyn Manson concert.
Yeah,
I just don't see how. I just don't see how you get the flesh. I understand you got flesh, and in that sense, I do see how you could get mixed up and messed up. But the thing about it is, you're not thinking. I mean, you've been saved 4 or 5 years, and then once in a while, nobody's listening. You go back and listen to Eminem and Ice Cube. Why can't they use their own names? There's got to be a reason for all that stuff.
Yes, sir.
Hmm. I mean, just the American part of that stuff. You know, those people hate America.
Yeah, right.
All those movie stars and all those singers and stuff, they don't use the real names because white man gave them those names or something like that. I don't think it has nothing to do with white or black. I think it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
And the leftists in this country just hate being America.
That's right.
Amen. That's the way it is. I can't do nothing about that. But that kind of stuff to me is vile, and I don't like it. Amen? And then they'll get into your mind about America's not right. And the church ain't right. And you know what that leads to? Your God ain't right. Amen? And everything you disagree with, you're a racist. And I understand we've got mixed company here. And again, it's about culture. It's not about race. But it's an issue. Amen. And but listen, I'll tell you this, because Americans, number one, but more importantly, Baptists won't stand up and say, that's wrong. You know why they don't say that's wrong? Because down deep in their heart, they don't contemn that kind of stuff. I think some fellow, Brother Allen, you know, he only lets people in the pulpit if he's really vetted them and checked them out. And I didn't see this firsthand, but I understand that they put somebody up here in the pulpit and said, well, you know, do whatever you want to do. Say whatever you want to say. I can imagine that being said. And I heard they broke out into a Christian rap, or it might not even been Christian or something like that. Alan didn't step back and go, praise God. Whoa. Amen. The first service we ever had at People's Baptist Church, they had already scheduled some Christian musical group to get up and sing. And my first day there, I didn't come to hear no singing. Boy, first day as a pastor, I come to preach. We've already scheduled these people, Brother Mike. We didn't know what day you were coming. We'll let them sing. They got up and sung. Like 45 minutes, they hypnotized the crowd with their, with their. Well, they got done singing. Okay, get your Bibles. Time to preach.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I noticed them fellas didn't have Bibles. That makes me mad.
Yeah. Amen.
I said, you boys ain't got Bibles? Well, we didn't know we were coming to preaching. You're coming to church, ain't you?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm still yet to find a church in the Bible where there wasn't no preaching.
Yeah. Amen.
You watched Lord of the Rings, lasted 3 hours. See how quiet it got right there? Mm-hmm. We stood entirely too long during the song service today, Pastor. You walked around Disney World for 12 hours, didn't you? Mm-hmm. You got the wrong affections. That's what's wrong with you, Jay Bird. Amen. The problem is you don't hate anything. You know what the Bible says about the God that loves the whole world? He says he hates them that love violence. God hates men that love violence.
Yeah.
Brains. You can't wait to get home. If there's an episode on right now, you're mad at me because you can't get home to get your daily dose of The Walking Dead. Because violence, just killing, 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 yeah, killing. Man. The Bible says you ought to hate some of that stuff.
Amen.
You say, why? Because it's vile.
Amen.
You know what a Christian ought to disregard more than anything else? I mean, there's probably things you could put in besides what I'm going to say, but it's death. I don't know what Christian that knows anything about the Bible or spirituality ought to take any pleasure in death whatsoever. If I'm watching a movie or something like that and something about stealing somebody's kid comes on, I turn it off. If I was watching a movie and there was something on about somebody's wife getting raped or kidnapped and sold, no, sir. If I read about it beforehand, I didn't turn it on because what business do I have as a Christian?
Amen.
These movies that glorify death now, what business does a Christian have messing around with that junk?
Amen.
You ought to be mad about some of that stuff. You let somebody grab a hold of one of your little girls and run off with them. See how entertaining that is. I don't like that stuff. You ought not like that stuff either. You ought to roll up your sleeves and get mad about some of that junk. Amen? And listen, I'm all for you. You've already heard what I said about a man leading his house. But some of you ladies, if you got a husband that lays around watching that stuff all the time, you ought to say, hey, something's wrong around here. So why would I say that? Because there's something wrong around here. That's why. Amen? And whose eyes a vile person is contemned. That'll get you a rule and reign with Christ. You know why? Because God contemns that stuff. God despises that stuff. I don't like it. God's looking down on a world tonight where people are killing one another and cutting each other's throat and backbiting and telling lies against one another. And God don't have no pleasure in it from the world. Why would he have pleasure in it with a bunch of Baptists?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But the Bible says he contemns the vile person, but he says he honoreth them that fear the Lord.
Yep.
The Bible says honor to whom honor.
Amen.
The Bible says if a man labors in the word, you give him double honor. Amen. the church that I attend and your church, I don't think we have a problem with that, but they some churches in this world that soon get rid of the pastor before they get rid of the worst person in the congregation.
Yeah.
We can survive. We can survive without the pastor, but that guy's my third cousin. We can't get rid of him. Mm-hmm. How many of you ever been to church with relatives? Amen. It's a wonder that's not the most violent aisle in the pew in the whole church. A bunch of family members sitting there together. Only reason they're not getting out of line because Tommy weighs about 900 pounds. Amen. When I went to church here, Tommy was my friend. Amen. Walking to church, find the biggest men in the church. Hey, those are my buddies right there. That's what you do to survive when you weigh 120 pounds. Amen. Now look here. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Oh, that's bruising right there. If you say you're going to do something, you ought to do it. You say, well, that's just one of those things in life that men ought to do. No, that'll show the difference between if you're going to rule and reign with Christ or not. You know, sometimes it hurt to keep your own word. Mm-hmm. You know what it's better to do? Not open your cotton-picking mouth to begin with. Amen? Oh, hey, will you come over and help me move? I don't know. Hey, I've come up with a good answer for stuff like that. Let me check with my wife and see what we have scheduled. I can't keep up with my scheduling book. Therefore, I let Ruth keep up with all the scheduling. Let me check with her and get back with you. That means no, I'm not coming to help you. I say, Ruth, call them and tell them I can't make it. No, I'm just kidding about that. But hey, if you swear, listen, what he's talking about is if it hurts you, you ought to keep your word about things. The popular thing for Baptists today is, hey, we're going to have revival the 7th through the 21st. Oh, I'll be there if I can, preacher. If I can't, what do you mean if you can't? Oh, preacher, I'll be there if nothing comes up.
Yeah.
Why can't you just commit to living for God for the rest of your life? Whenever revival is, I'll be there.
Amen.
Whenever revival ain't, then I'll go to the bingo and the bar. I'll do it. I'll do everything. I'll do that on the devil's time. In God's time, I'll be in the house of God. Prearranged. Amen? Let bingo be the thing that... Would you come play bingo? Well, if revival don't come up. Why is it always the church gets put on the... If nothing else comes up, I'll be down to... Yeah, if nothing comes up, I'll be there. Why not switch that around a little bit? And I'm talking about dedicate yourself to it. I'll be there. Amen? And then, oh, it's really going to, I'm going to really miss an opportunity. If I don't take this opportunity and if I go to church, it's really going to hurt me. Well, yeah, that's what it said right there. Swear to your own hurt and keep it. And keep it. Amen. So what happened? God will say, look at that fella. Keeping his word when things might go better for him physically or in a worldly sense, things might go better for him if he does what he wants to do. But here he is in the house of God tonight. And God said, I believe I'll bless him twice as much as he'd have had if he did what he wanted to.
Amen.
He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things, listen, shall never be moved. There's another verse like that in 2 Peter chapter 1. Great verse. You read 2 Peter chapter 1 when you get home. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things, the whole chapter he's talking about, shall never be moved. You'll be right there with God, ruling and reigning with him. I believe throughout eternity, there'll be somebody to look after, even after the millennial reign. If I understand the Bible correctly, people are going to go throughout all eternity, this world and beyond, I believe. Somebody's going to have to look over things. God's going to entrust that to those who've been faithful right here in this life. The simple question is, will you be faithful in this life? Will you serve gladly? Put away the bitterness. Things ain't going to work out like you want to. Just serve the Lord gladly. Hey, I wanted it to go this way, and it didn't go this way, but this is the way it's going, so I may as well be glad about it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, this is the event that's come up. Oh, I really wouldn't have come if I'd have known Brother Mike was preaching tonight. Well, here we are. It's over with now. If you'd have shouted, you'd have had more fun.
Amen.
You didn't shout. Now I know what your problem is. Amen. And I'll be praying for you. Hope you get over it. Listen, if these things stepped on your toes a little bit, I hope you get it right with God. I'd like to see everybody that I know, some people that I don't know, like to see you stand before God. I think I've took a little bit of slack because over the years I've disagreed with some preachers. I've disagreed with some folks that I thought was really making a mess of things. And there's a real possibility you could have that attitude and get bitter about it. But the thing that I've realized is that I can pray for those preachers that I say, oh, I don't believe he's no count as a preacher. There are people that I think that about. But you know what I find out affects me better and helps me more is when I get on my face and say, now, God, you help that man. Because I want that man to stand before God. I know that I know that I know that that preacher that I disagree with or that preacher that I might even think shouldn't even be in the ministry at all. Did you know we think that way about one another from time to time? But listen, I know this without a shadow of a doubt. That man that I don't think should be in the ministry and me is made out of the same stuff. And that man and me both are going through the same trials and tribulations on this earth. And I know I want me and that reprobate to stand before God with all the blessings they can muster. And that saves my heart from a lot of bitterness and for a lot of disgust. A lot of disgust. I'll tell you one thing that's going to put a big chip on your shoulder if you're a preacher, to see some reprobate have all the success in the world and you get fusses and heartaches and what looks like failure here on this earth, but it's not failure up in glory. But if you look at that thing in the flesh, here I am trying to do right, because we all say that. Remember this morning's survey? We all think we're doing right. Here we are thinking we're doing right, and there's a guy that's blatantly doing things his own way, and it looks like he's got all the blessings of the world. Hey, go read the book of Psalms. It's not right here that we got to worry about. It's up there at that judgment and what's beyond that judgment that we have to worry about. Pray for one another. Uplift one another. There's people that's going to do it wrong because we're people. But hey, help them up. They won't listen to me. Talk to God about it. It'll help you.
Amen.
Dedicate yourself. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and grace. We pray you'd take the word that's been preached and bless it and use it, God, to our edification. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here you go, preacher.
Brother Jay, why don't you and your family come on up here and we just pray over them. Get all the trustees and deacons and to come up here and just pray. And anybody else want to come in here? You ladies want to get with Miss Sherry, Melinda, you want to get with Miss Sherry and Miss Holly and ladies get together with her, Miss Sarah and April and all you ladies, Amy, all of you. Any ladies want to pray with? We pray with Brother Jay and pray the Lord just protect the family. Joe, y'all want to come up? Joe, Brother Riley, Brother Joe, other Joe, come on. All you, anybody want to come up? Come on. Come on. Come on, let's pray.